Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of Tech Can Save Us podcast brought to you by Literal Humans. As always, I am Paul David, founder and CEO of Literal Humans and your host. And I'm joined today by Jason Saltzman, CEO and co-founder of Relief. Welcome to the pod, Jason.
Thanks for having me. Excited to talk to you, Paul.
Yeah, man. We're excited to talk today about disrupting consumer debt using AI. And by way of introduction, Relief, which Jason co-founded, is the first AI-powered consumer debt resolution platform that's helping Americans tackle overwhelming credit card debt crisis. And Jason, just got to put my hand up. I've had a lot of it, and it's just, yeah, I can feel you. So I understand what your customers are going through. Jason is a serial entrepreneur with over 20 years of experience, previously founded Ally, a successful startup incubator backed by Verizon. He's also a professor at Florida International University and serves on the board of directors as vice chair of enterprise growth, which we'll dig into a little bit later. By way of, you know, background on Relief, they've made incredible strides since their public launch. They've enrolled over 150,000 users, representing more than $7.6 billion in unsecured consumer debt. Are those stats still accurate? Sometimes they get dated.
It's over $8 billion. You know, who's counting? Yeah. Like, the problem seems to just keep growing and growing, you know, as we see it. But yeah, pretty close to that.
It's one of those. And just to round this out here, just recently, you've all secured a strategic investment from National Debt Relief, the largest debt settlement company in the U.S., which positions you all gratefully to transform how Americans access debt resolution services. And then Jason's personal experience with toxic debt inspired him to build a solution that makes financial relief accessible to everyone who needs it. So let's get into it, Jason. I've got a ton of student loan debt. I've had the credit card debt. I wish I had something like Relief. If you could just explain to us a little bit about the debt settlement industry, which you're, you know, very well acquainted, how has it evolved, and where does an app like Relief fit into the landscape here?
Yeah, well, I mean, well, let's first, I think it's just really helpful to say that, to start by saying that the problem's so big, right? And if anybody's listening to this, you know, the first thing I like to tell people is, even though this is like a silent killer, like people don't talk about it, it's not sexy to talk about your debt to anybody. It's not the best topic of conversations to bring up at dinner parties. You know, you're not alone. You know, unsecured debt is at an all-time high for consumers in the United States and beyond. I mean, this problem is far bigger than just the US. Just the US is one of the biggest consumers on the planet of, like, you know, just crap. You know, and I say that because people just feel really horrible about it. I mean, most people feel like their dignity has been stripped away. So I just want to say that. I like to start with that. To top that off, the solutions that are out there, that have been out there for many, many years, they're just not that advanced in the form of technological advances, in the form of being easy to use and accessible for consumers. A lot of the solutions out there are expensive. They're untrustworthy, and they're scary. You know, there's a lot of scams out there for people that are vulnerable. So what we tried to do right away was to show people, look, using modern technology and doing it through an app that you're used to using to run your everyday life, get your food, get your car service, pick you up wherever you are, you can use things like that to help mitigate these situations. Because even though the problem is pretty complex, from a cultural perspective and from a societal perspective, the solutions are fairly simple. They're just not brought to people simply. So that's what we chose to do. We chose to break down these silos, to sort of democratize the help that is being distributed, probably more amongst the wealthy people who can get out of debt very easily, structured financing, structured settlements and such, and so on and so forth, and to provide that via an app to people that can easily use it. And yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we'd love to just dig into, like, let's locate folks in time. So it sounds like, you know, the pandemic probably accelerated some of this consumer debt crisis.
Totally.
I think on average, Americans carry something like $6,200 in credit card debt, which is like the highest ever. We'd love to dig into these kind of like major problems that, you know, the traditional debt settlement companies, you know, have tried to address, but maybe haven't done so successfully, and that you're trying to get at here.
Yeah, well, the traditional debt settlement companies. So debt settlement, so for people that are listening, a debt settlement company is a company that you can hire to negotiate the balance of your debt. So if you're past due on your bills, you can call up the creditor, you can work out a deal. A lot of these things are very difficult to do. They're overwhelming for consumers. So there are firms that you can hire to do it. The problem in the industry, there's a lot of problems in the industry, but one of the biggest problems in the industry is it's a highly competitive industry. And the customer acquisition costs, the cost to acquire a person that can afford help is extremely high. So what that the byproduct of that is that they help people with extraordinary amounts of debt, way below the American average, which is, south of $7,000, as you mentioned before. So you have a situation where even the companies that are out there that you can hire can't help people that have under a certain amount of debt. And that is the average in America today. So most people can't get access to professional help, right? So that's really one of the biggest problems, right, that you're dealing with in the industry. Using an app, our cost of service, because we're using software, is much lower than like paying rent for an office, paying individuals. And with the advent of AI, we can now use communicative smart tools to help people via customer service, via getting workouts on the back end and automating the process. Our cost is 99% lower than the average debt settlement company. And by the way, that's just one feature that the app does, right? We do more than that, but that allows us to go under the average debt. So now people with $200 or $300 worth of debt, which might seem small to people that make a lot of money, but for the person that's going through that problem, $300, $400, $500 debt is crippling, right?
I
For
mean,
the
when
average American, it's crippling. They're living paycheck to paycheck, and that money really matters. So we can help those people that the average debt settlement company can't.
Definitely, yeah. We're going to get into features and product elements. I know founders always want to jump into that. We'd love to just like hear a bit more before we do that in terms of like just how your approach is different. Like you mentioned toxic business models that you've experienced in the industry. Like when you were building Relief, I'm sure you were saying like I want our ethos and our effect to be different. And like, what were those two or three keystones that you kind of built around, would you say?
Transparency. So the fact that you have an app, you could show people everything. And the other thing is expedience. So you can expedite the process of doing budgets. If somebody gives a little bit of information, you can pull credit. So you don't have to go offline and take Excel spreadsheets and put them all together to do a cash flow model for an individual person. We can do that all through the app. We can also do what's called collective bargaining. Like, if you call up your creditor on your own, you're making a deal that's one deal with one account. If we go with like a big community of people, let's say thousands of people that represent millions and millions of dollars of debt, the creditors are more willing because it's more cost effective for them to recover the debt. They're willing to go lower than the average consumer that can get on their own. So it's sort of like extremely efficient. So transparency for the consumer on the front end so that they know what they're getting into, a much lower transactional fee for the consumer so it makes it accessible, and the efficacy on the back end so they could save as much money as possible. And that's everything we sought to do per that feature with the app.
That's amazing. And we're going to get into that. So jumping into the product, I mean, your big claim is that you save users, up to 50% on what they, what they owe. We'd love to just dig into the app, the product, like how does it actually work? How are you making it accessible to those in the need? If you can just like walk us through what happens when someone downloads Relief and then enters in their debt information.
Yeah, so what most people don't know, Paul, is that when you fall behind on a bill, the net present value of the debt goes down. Because what happens is that debt's sold to a third party. So your debt might be with, like, let's say Chase, and you owe, $5,000,
How did you know,
towards
Jason? How
Chase.
did you know it was with Chase?
I know, maybe because there's one on every corner,
Exactly.
So in that example, if you fall behind 30, 60, 90 days behind, you go into what's called a charge-off phase, and most creditors sell the debt to a third party to collect it. And that sale is for pennies on the dollar, right? So because they were able to purchase the debt for pennies on the dollar, there's a margin to be made between what you owe and what they paid for it. And what most people don't know is that if you call the creditor, you will get a savings on that debt. But most people are hiding from the creditor. Most people don't know who to call. Most people are sort of like look at that debt collector as the enemy. I wonder why. They're calling you a million times a day. They're the most annoying people in the world. And it's extremely frustrating. And most people throughout this process have sort of lost their dignity. They're like, just like, screw it. Like, I'm out, you know? And so what the app does is it does it all for them in the app. So somebody doesn't have to call the creditor. Somebody doesn't have to figure out how much they could pay. They download the app, they put a little bit of their information in, and it shows them what type of deal that the app might be able to get them. And then the user has the power to submit. So on the back end, we can negotiate the bill down directly with the creditor. All completely automated for the user. The user doesn't have to call anybody, answer any letters. They don't have to do anything. And for the deals that we're able to get, the user then gets an automated message back, a notification in app that we got them such a deal. The average transaction is around 50% off. We've been
Wow.
saving people up to 70% actually
Wow.
on their debt. Yeah,
I
it's
mean,
crazy.
from like a product experience point of view, like this is like exactly what we want AI to be doing. Like it's like, please handle this minutia, this like, you know, sort of busy work
Yeah.
for me. So I was impressed by hearing that. Would love to kind of dig into like how exactly your AI analyzes finances and does that negotiation with creditors. And then also like your neobanking kind of business model. Like how do you make money while keeping it free for consumers? Just kind of want to untangle that and understand.
Well, so it's free to find out what the app can do. It's not free to get the transaction done.
Got it. Of course.
Users pay an average of 5% of the savings, but it's guaranteed. So if the app doesn't save them money, they don't pay for anything. The average fee is around $30 to $50, right, per our user base. Quite affordable when you're talking about saving thousands and thousands of dollars.
Massively.
So there's that aspect. In terms of technology, we've been using AI for a few different factors. One, our developers are able to code, 10 to 100 times faster and deploy better features and smarter features like in real time, which has been extremely efficient running a business that way. And we also use AI for our customer service. So we're building a nice LLM model for anybody that has any questions specifically to them. And that genre has been completely worked in the sandbox around debt and default debt that's been behind. So you and it's specific to their situation. But what I'm really excited about, which many people don't know too, is that, not all debt's created equal. Right. And what I say by that is like credit cards different than student loan debt. Credit card debt in California is legally handled different when you fall behind than it is in, let's say, Texas or New York. Who buys the debt operates different. So different debt collectors have different parameters. What our system is able to do is customize those parameters per your situation. And on top of the state and the location of the debt itself, there's different factors like do you own a home? The risk profile of each borrower is much different per their financial situation. Are you W-2 or are you 1099? In some cases, it doesn't make a difference. In some cases, it does because a creditor has more leverage if they're able to do in your state to garnish your wages. So with AI, we're able to make quick decisions around that, right? And those decisions are all predicated around one thing and one thing only is how do we save this user as much money as humanly possible, which the average consumer wouldn't be able to leverage themselves because unless you're about to pick up a book on banking transactions, per your state, per your situation, and then understand the guidelines that debt buyers, debt collectors, and credit issuers use, you would have no idea how this stuff works. So all that technology is jam-packed, into the app. And now that I say it out loud, I get more excited about it. Like, holy crap, like I can't believe we built this. Like, but that's exactly what it does.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's one of the pleasures of doing what I do, to like getting to work on growth strategy with amazing like tech for good folks like yourself and just hearing them talk about it and realize like sometimes on the podcast, like, wow, like you built something incredible that's changing people's lives. So first of all, thank you for what you've done. And also to that point, like what
I
have
can't
you?
take the credit, Paul.
Ah,
Like I
okay.
can't. I'm the fate. I'm the voice. I raise capital. I tout it. I sell it. My partners are
Yeah.
amazing. They're full stack engineers, and our team is
Yeah.
completely dedicated to this mission.
Totally. I mean, I feel you, man. Like that's my role here. Like I'm just the salesperson. I'm the face, as you say. And like our team does amazing things that I could never imagine doing. So I appreciate the humility and very much relate to it. I'd be curious about that, like user experience. Like what have you seen or heard or felt from the users you've helped? Do you track them and follow them after they sort of maybe paid off their debt and do they have a new lease on life? Like what's their experience after using Relief?
Yeah, so we try to, especially early on, we try to keep in touch with everybody, but we sort of don't want to be like too in their faces, because it is extremely personal. Like, just because you get the person on the app doesn't mean you're going to get personal with me. But we've had people, and we've done studies early on of the reactions to people when they see the app, when they see something that's built for their situation. You see this like sense of just levity comes over them, and hence the name Relief. We actually see them feeling relief when they look at the app, right? But you're dealing with people in this situation when they get rid of it. We've had people write in, telling us these crazy stories, how it's really helping their family and friends. I get personal messages all the time because I'm pretty vocal about the issue and the fact that, we're doing everything we can to solve it. So the byproduct of that is people hit me up on social media and I talk, and I like to call people and talk to them when I can. And some of these stories are just insane. And it's just really nice. It's very rare that you have a business that not only could be a wonderful business and scalable and hopefully, for the ages, but it helps people at the same time on such a deep level. So,
That, I mean, I really relate to that last part because we've sort of prioritized, organizations, companies like yourselves who they tick both those boxes. They can make a bit of money and we all need to eat, we all need to pay our rent, we all need to live, but also they're helping the world. And that's, I think, a beautiful thing about tech these days is it has, against the title of our podcast, it has the potential to save us or save some people and help a lot of people. That's kind of why we cheekily named it what we did. But like, that's the best part of this is like you can leverage it in smart ways to actually free people from burdens that they're facing.
Totally, totally.
Well, let's jump into, we'd be remiss if we didn't ask about growth strategy. That's what we do. We work with tech companies like yourselves on their growth strategy. Obviously, you've got this great 15 million Series A that you raised a couple of years ago. It's that, sort of strategic investment from National Debt Relief. Would love to hear how that partnership and other partnerships have shaped your growth strategy. Have you had any significant shifts in your marketing growth strategy since that raise? Just like take us on that journey of how you've grown the platform.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're almost there, right? So as a startup, if any founders are listening to this, like you build sort of in increments, right? It's kind of like it's a game of inches, like Al Pacino in Any Given Sunday. It's one of my favorite speeches
Just
on the planet.
that little inch.
Yeah, inch by inch. So like, and these inches are predicated around proving business viability and creating value along the way, right? Which sort of go hand in hand together, as I see it. And sometimes you could do that in a sweeping fashion. I see these companies come in and they're just like, very rare, but it happens. For me, and for such a big problem that we're tackling, we have to handle it with sort of kid gloves. We behaviorally, how are we speaking to people? Does this translate into a good experience onboarding? Because that all, is basically the byproduct of that would be like what our customer acquisition costs and what our dropout rates are in the beginning, like what hurdles we can overcome from the very beginning. And then you have, the user experience and the viability of the app moving forward. And so when you're proving that on top of, it being financial data that has to be handled very sensitively. And then you have the business development end where you have to have deals transact on the back end. You move accordingly. And for us, all that jargon I just said translates into, how can we prove the market and grow accordingly to all the business development and things we actually need to do to be a viable business. For us, we prove the market by showing what our customer acquisition costs are, by showing the market need that we have some product market fit here from using the $15 million Series A funding to sort of build the infrastructure. We built the infrastructure, we built the tech, and one thing that we knew we were lacking was the ability to get the deals and the transactions done on the back end. And we were looking for a way of sort of leapfrogging over having to do all these business development transactions over the next 10 years or so, to get them done. And we needed a lot of users in the meantime. So we sought out partners, strategic partners that can not only put capital into the business, but have those relationships that are pre-established and already do these types of transactions. what mimics that most in our world was the debt settlement market. They already have rails built into creditors. They already do deals. And our target was the best, the biggest in the space, the most efficient in the space. But not only that, the best reputation in the space, because reputation's everything.
I have to ask you about this. Like, how are they willing to play ball with you all? You know what I mean? Like, I love that you approach that, but like, wouldn't they see you as competitive? Wouldn't they kind of try and freeze you out? Or were they like, no, actually, this is a great partnership. Let's work together.
I think it's one of those things where if you see it and you're in the industry, you know it. Like, many have tried to do what we've been able to accomplish, and many have failed. I look at it like the Goonies. I don't know how many people listen to this podcast that are of the age to be a fan of the Goonies. That was like, it's one of my favorite movies of all time. But Chester Copperpot, died. He was looking for the treasure. The Goonies, went over him, and like they were able to move forward. There's a lot of Chester Copperpots in the debt space that tried. You can't just be a startup kid and build something in your basement that takes care of debt. You need to have the relationships. You need to have the connective tissue. You need to understand how the ecosystem works, not just from a technical perspective, from a relationship perspective. And that's why they saw it. They saw it. They saw that we were able to build the ecosystem, a system that spoke to the ecosystem. I think also they understand like where a traditional debt settlement company, their demographic is getting older and older. And as a digital native company, our demographic is getting younger and younger and more relevant for the situation itself. I mean, nobody talks on the phone anymore. No, they're even significant others don't want to, call each other on the phone, So it only makes sense. But there was never a company that was able to cross that bridge into the digital space and automate this whole thing. And we proved that we could do that. So I think it's pretty eye-opening. It's sort of like, okay, yeah, sure, we have the resources to build it ourselves, but like these guys know what they're doing. We're not in the same space. Like it seems like the same space, but we're not, right? Brick and mortar is completely different, from digital. But they were able to see it. And the guys at National Debt Relief, they're extremely innovative. They try, they do things, they've
They have
automated
to
so
be.
many things in the back end. Yeah, they're the top, they're the top. So they saw it and they were like, look, we could probably crush you, but like you guys have come so far, like why not support it? And we could do it together,
I mean, it sounds like the insight here too is that like you had a product that met the market, met the moment, and also to throw in another P, like it's a partnership. It's like a partnership at the right time with a product that meets the moment and the audience. And I think that's really profound. That's really
It's
like
unique.
yeah,
Yeah,
it's unique.
you gotta get and Paul, everything looks like it's so strategic and everything, looks like it was like done on purpose. But at the end of the day, you gotta get lucky
You
too.
gotta better be lucky than good. That's what they always
Yeah,
say.
it's a poker saying. Yeah, I love that
Exactly.
saying.
Yeah, I also use your killing me smalls probably about once a week, and like not everybody gets it. So thank you for the Goonies
You're in
reference.
good company. You're in good company.
Cool. I mean, well, let's jump to. I'd love to hear more about like your journey here. So like you stepped down from Ally in 2020 after 8 years to focus on relief. I'm just curious, like, why solving the debt crisis? Like, how did that become a personal mission for you? And what were you bringing from your previous experiences that kind of, helped shape what you do at Relief there?
Well, I was introduced to the debt space right out of high school. It's the first industry that I was part of, and I knew how it worked really well. And I went on to do really cool things with great people. And we were able to build things in an environment where, you got like-minded people around, you put other people first, you had all these like better philosophies than just like the ABCs of running a business. And I saw, what that did to industries. I saw, Casper was built. I referenced Casper because they were in and out of, Ally all the time. And these guys like innovated a mattress company. I use that example because like how boring mattresses are, and they were able to, propel the industry into the future and make an impact. And I was like, as fulfilling as Ally was to bring people together and to look at really and help really good startups and founders, I really want to make my mark doing something massive. When COVID hit, everybody got a chance to take a step back and think about what they wanted to do next. I mean, that's at least what a lot of us did, right? And like you had all that free time, you know? And I really wanted to do something big. So I said to myself, even if I failed, what can I work on that even if I was successful for one person, it's going to help them? And then going back to my roots in debt and then being sort of bombarded with people asking for help, I put two and two together and was like, we need to do this thing.
And I might be getting ahead of myself here, but you've got me thinking about potential partnerships because, as we talked about, partnerships is all about that. But, we just took on a project with a bunch of kids in California. All the kids in California just got a couple $1 billion from the state legislature. And we're kind of working with some organizations on, financial literacy tech platforms and helping them understand how to leverage that money and, in some cases, in many cases, get out of debt. So we should connect the dots and connect you with those folks because I feel like what you've got and what they're trying to do, it just
I would
aligns
love
really
to.
well.
Yeah, for sure.
It sort of leads me to the next point here. Like, I love this quote from you about like waking up every morning and hit the keyboards to help people. That's what we try to do. I think that mission-driven focus, is the thing that, gets you to put your feet on the floor. And so would love to hear more about that. Like, where do you see that going in terms of being a bit of a personal mission for you, relief and beyond potentially?
You know, a lot of people ask me, like, how the hell did you raise, like, in this project, we raised, a ton of money. Pre-revenue. How do you do that? Right. And I think, like, at the end of the day, I'm speaking the truth to people. Like, and that comes from my soul. And I think in order to be able to do that, you have to believe in not just believe, but know if what you're doing actually hits, what type of impact that would actually make. And I'll be able to get the right people in front of me in order to do that and execute. And that's a byproduct of that. Cause it's not like we're not humming yet. I think it's a lot. It's a different environment when you're raising capital and you're already making $1 billion, But to get people to invest in you, I think there needs to be something more than just the money, especially when you're not making it. And for me, that is what drives me. Cause I know that if I'm able to do this, how many people are we going to help? If I'm able to deploy an app that crushes people's credit card debt and student loan debt, gets them legal support, gets them consolidation loans to help them lower their bills, and they're able to have discretionary income to go on vacation for the first time in their lives or take care of their kids better, how crazy is that?
I mean, that's so powerful. That it's also like it's not just the thing you do, but it's the result of the thing you do or what it unlocks for people.
Totally.
One thing we've done, we implemented a 4-day work week here at Literal Humans. People are like, "You're crazy!" Like the agency space is all about burning people out, and you're the founders you work with are never going to accept that. We haven't had a single client churn or really complain about it. In fact, they ask us how to do it, and what it unlocks for our team is higher quality of life. They come to our Monday meetings and they have a long weekend and they show up fulfilled because they have more time with their families, more time for themselves. They're more creative, So it was a risk, but it really unlocked a lot for our team and I think for us in terms of our culture. So I really feel you on that. Let's jump into the quick fire round, lightning round. I'm going to hold you to this. It's just like the first answer that comes to your mind, maybe a sentence or two explaining it, but it's like a fun way for our audience to get to know you. So you've got Ally, you've got Relief. If you founded another tech startup, what would it be and why?
I have no idea.
You haven't thought of it. I feel like most
No, I
founders have thought
really
of
no,
it.
because I'm doing what I want, I mean, there's a million things that I think the world needs,
What's the one you
but
keep coming back to? What's like, oh, I got to solve this next problem, or like, this thing really gets under my skin?
I mean, I think I if we're turn if we're talking about world issues, I think accessible housing would be amazing. I think
Yeah,
that
for sure.
crushing accessible housing, like being sort of like a map of where people can go, what meets their budget or grants and ways that they can get housing. I mean, I don't think people realize how big of a problem that really is, we live in a bubble, but I think that would be the next big problem.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I look at what's going on with housing and homelessness. I'm just like, how have we not solved this? Like, it just like blows my mind. So I feel you. What's a tech invention that makes you the most excited right now?
Oh, it ha AI, everything AI,
Cool.
everything AI,
Flip side of that question, what's a tech invention that makes you the most concerned?
everything AI.
So that's usually the answer these days. Who's a literal human who's been integral to your career journey that you want to shout out?
There's so many people that you look at from the outside and you're like, holy shit, like, like look at what they've done, but you don't really know who they are. Like Alexis Ohanian, not only have I watched his career, I have an opportunity to hang out with him, and I just think a lot of, not only does everything he touched turns to like gold, he's just a great human, and like I just like the way he rolls and run and rolls everything out.
Agree with that. Did you see his recent post about like that photo of his mom that he like turned into like a
Yeah.
video? Like that was so powerful. I just saw that the
Yeah.
other day. So
Yeah.
powerful, man. What's an inspirational quote that's stuck with you through your journey in tech? Anything stand out?
Yeah, the biggest one is it took me 10 years to look like an overnight success.
Who's that by? Do you remember?
I don't know.
We'll
Some
look it up.
really somebody who definitely got kicked in the face a
Yeah,
lot.
absolutely. Absolutely. That's a good one. I'll look up who it was afterwards. But wow, I mean, Jason, this has been a fantastic conversation. I think relief, you're tackling, such a critical issue, and it's an issue that isn't discussed enough. Something I've personally felt, and frankly, part of the reason I live abroad is there's a lot of debt in the US, and I wanted to kind of get away from that. And I think your team, you're using tech to not just like automate debt settlement, but you're like democratizing access for debt relief, financial relief for people who maybe they felt left behind. And I'm sure you feel that. The first thing you said was like, you're not alone. And I think that's a great way to start, like really grounded in that experience. So yeah, well, thank you, first of all. And like, where can folks find out more about Relief on the internet?
So it's available in the App Store, both the Google Play Store and in Android and iOS. And if anybody has a situation that they're going through that they're just, need some help, people DM me all day long. I love helping people. So my Instagram account is I'm totally accessible. It's at Jason Saltzman on Twitter. I'm at Saltzman Jason. Feel free to hit me up, DM me. I'd love to help you.
That's amazing. Well, it was such a good note to end on. And Jason, thank you for being so generous with your time and for the fantastic work that you're doing. This is why we do this podcast, y'all. So please give us a review, a rating, so we can keep bringing great guests like Jason Saltzman, founder, co-founder, and CEO of Relief, back onto the pod to talk about disrupting consumer debt with AI. Thanks, everybody.